You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Talking car maintenance with Buttons. You're listening to the Gym Class. As we get things started on this Thursday here on KGYM. 5 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Scott Unash with you from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Duke's coming your way here from his home in the southwest side in just a moment. Kevin Lehman joins us, the coach. It is off the glass. We'll talk NCAA basketball on the eve of the Sweet 16, or at least two eves of the Sweet 16. We'll get Kevin's thoughts about the first weekend of the tournament, look ahead to the final 16 teams, and more. We'll talk about the Big Ten. Is it time for the Big Ten to change their MO as far as athletes are concerned, that they go after, recruit, etc.? We'll get your input on that from the text line and the phone lines at 319-366-1600. Really tough loss last night for the Iowa State women. You heard it right here on KGYM. 1600 AM and 102.3 FM as Iowa State falls to Texas A&M in the waning moments of that particular ball game in the second round of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. So we'll talk about that, as well as a big injury in baseball, and crowds are going to be back in the Big Ten, including in Iowa City, starting at Duane Banks Field, as well as Iowa softball coming up first. All that and more, and your interactions welcome at 319-366-1600 as we come your way on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream and mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. As we bring in Mark Dukes on this Thursday, how you doing?
Doing well, Scott. Buttons, everyone. Looking forward to today's show, as usual, and Bowling Night in America recap as well.
How could I forget a Bowling Night in America recap? I was,
not too memorable.
Well, it was to use verbiage from MASH, and I know our friend Jeff Johnson, if he is listening, would appreciate this, and other MASH folks. It was a very average Vernon Parsons night last night.
Like the reference, yeah.
Thank you. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Particular episode? Yeah. Average Vernon Parsons from Hawkeye's hometown of Crabapple Cove, Maine, would always get his name in the paper for average accomplishments. Well, that's what we had last night as far as bowling is concerned. 319-366-1600, the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600 as we start the show off here today. And we'll talk about basketball with Kevin Lehman on the men's side coming up in a little bit. Let's start with the women's game last night, though, Mark. And I guess depending on your vantage point as far as the ball game is concerned last night, you were either seething mad, just a little bit mad, or disappointed. I think one of those three would cover the canvas as far as emotions, as far as the Iowa State women's game last night. If you're a dyed-in-the-wool Cyclone fan, not the first time that you have uttered the words, "Oh, the officials," won't be the last one probably, but there were some very interesting things that happened toward the end last night. But the one thing, and Bill Fenley did address this in the postgame, was 24 turnovers. As many things as Iowa State did very, very well last night, they turned it over 24 times, and when you do that, you usually do not win, and it did, I guess, help to catch up against the Cyclones at the end.
Well, it's so true. Just a really tough, tough loss for the Iowa State women, who played, in most respects, from wire to almost wire, outplayed Texas A&M, the number two seed in the regional, a taller team, a very skilled team, out-rebounded them. Iowa State made 16 three-pointers. Ashley Jones was tremendous. A lot of folks, including former Iowa State star George Niang, who tweeted out a video of the last one of the last sequences that Iowa State had the ball, and it appeared Ashley Jones was fouled at least once, if not a couple times. But Bill Fennelly's right. Had Iowa State had, let's say, 18 turnovers instead of 24, it probably wins the game.
I think it does win the game. I don't think there's any doubt about it. 15, they probably win by 10 last yes. night. The way they shot the ball from three. Usually when the Iowa State women shoot the ball that well from three-point land, they don't lose. They just don't lose, period. But 24 turnovers, as pointed out by 57-13 on the text line. You can blame the refs all you want, but it's very hard to win with 24 turnovers. And that's, Bill Fennelly did not comment. He can't comment as far as officiating is concerned. He kind of laughed and said, no, I'm not going to talk about it, which is probably the best thing he could have done, taking the high road last night. And it was tough. It was tough. Was it a jump ball at the end? I'm not real sure it was a jump ball at the end either. There really wasn't a tie situation there in that double team at the end. But I guess if you look at it in another direction, it could have been maybe a flagrant foul. But it was after the whistle, so I think the referees got that part right. There was just a lot of weirdness to the end of that game last night.
Yeah, there really was. And the old saying goes, you know, don't put yourself in that position where officials' calls or lack thereof can potentially decide a game. And this was very true in this game because Iowa State did so many things well. I haven't watched a ton of Iowa State women this year, but I do know enough to know what you said. I mean, when it shoots, it's a perimeter team. There's no question about it. Kristen Scott's injury didn't help either. The center, who played very sparingly but was effective when she was in there, it was just a 95% successful performance, and that other 5% cost him.
It did. 319-366-1600, if you'd like to weigh in, Iowa State fans out there, as far as the game last night is concerned. And I guess the one thing to say is that, and it's great for, I think, all four schools, Division I schools here in the state of Iowa, that the future is really, really bright. The Hawkeyes bring back practically the entire roster, including Caitlin Clark. Monica Sonano on the inside as well. Iowa State, yes, Maddie Wise is gone. Ray Johnson is also gone as far as the team is concerned. And Kristen Scott, unfortunately, like you mentioned, was injured last night, did not play a whole lot toward the end. She is gone as well. But all those freshmen are back for Iowa State. Another good group coming in. And you and I had only one senior on the team. Drake, very young this year. Both those teams involved in postseason tournaments as well. State of Iowa is looking pretty good right now. And, of course, Iowa is still playing in the Sweet 16 as they will take on UConn coming up this weekend.
And I believe you and I are still in the WNIT.
Correct. Right? That is correct.
Yeah, you're so right about that evaluation of the young talent in the state and women's basketball players, and kind of gets you to thinking maybe next year when Iowa and Iowa State match up. That's part of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thank you to Steve Anderson and his team there. Scott, the question is, which Cy-Hawk game, this is a really good question, which Cy-Hawk game are you most looking forward to in 2021? Would it be football, men's basketball, women's basketball, or wrestling?
That is a good one. That is a good one. That would even make our friend Steve Anderson ponder a little, I think.
Thanks, Cole. Makes me ponder.
Wrestling, Iowa State and Kevin Dressler are getting better and better and better. They've got a national champion with Carr. Probably 1 through 10, not quite equipped yet to probably take down Iowa next year. Football is going to be very interesting. Goes back to Ames next year. Matt Campbell and Iowa State are going to be either first or second in the preseason polls as far as Big 12 football is concerned. Quite frankly, I think they should be at the top, but Oklahoma probably will be with Iowa State second. We'll see. Men's basketball, who knows what that is going to look like with the transfer portal and T.J. Otzelberger stepping in, and who knows what Iowa's going to look like. By the way, Austin Ash officially into the transfer portal today, which we already knew was going to happen. Best of luck to Austin as he tries to find a new spot to land and try to get some playing time here for the remainder of his career. I think women's basketball. I would vote women's basketball, Mark.
Yeah, that football game between the two teams almost always dominates the conversation. You're so right about the basketball teams, even though T.J. Otzelberger is bringing in a transfer from Washington State, a 6'8 forward out of Slovenia. First move on as he's starting his work as Iowa State's head coach. But wrestling, I think there's still quite a disparity. But we have not seen an Iowa State matchup in, 2 years at least?
Yeah.
The talent of the two women's basketball teams are going to be exceptional. And that's going to be a very fun game to see this year, as it was this year.
True. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. Joel and Muscatine, what is great is how in-state stars are staying home and going to in-state universities on the women's side. Very much agreed. Caitlin Clark, two of her final teams that she picked from were Iowa, of course, and Iowa State. Very much agree, Joel. 81-86. There is not a wrong answer there. I would agree. Yeah. I would agree, 81-86. No doubt about that. That is a tough question, though. That is a tough question out there. 319-366-1600 at 17 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We're going to talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes or so. And we will get some theories from him about many things on and off the court as far as men's college basketball is concerned. A Hollywood passing today, Mark. Jessica Walter passing away at the age of 80. Lately known for her role in Arrested Development. Very good show if you've not checked it out. But man alive, she was. She has had a litany of great roles over her years. Many Emmy nominations as well as other awards. Play Misty for Me she was in. Very, very early as far as her career with Clint Eastwood, back as far as her career getting started is concerned. But definitely will be missed, and she passes away at the age of 80 today.
Not too familiar with her, I have to admit, Scott. I'll trust your comments there. And good long career, evidently.
Very good. 6 decades as far as Hollywood is concerned out there. 318, and this was announced yesterday as far as the Big Ten is concerned, Mark. We're going to see people in the stands officially as far as Big Ten sports are concerned, starting off with the spring sports. And that is very, very good news out there. It's going to depend mostly on the local requirements and just local rules, etc. It sounds like Iowa is going to, at least right now, go probably with half capacity. They're talking about, as far as baseball is concerned, especially Duane Banks Field. In fact, Iowa putting out, it was good to see ticket information for baseball being released today. by the Iowa Sports Information Office. That was very normal, I guess, to see in 2021.
Yeah, it's welcome news. The Big Ten announced this yesterday in Iowa, following through with what it's going to begin with in terms of protocols, and every locale is going to be different. I understand that, but it appears that 50% of Duane Banks Field will be available, should we say. It's about time.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. And yeah, and it, like I said, you have to adhere to local rules and regulations still. Masks will be required, but there will be people to watch Big Ten sports coming up very, very shortly. And that is welcome news out there. And I guess as we look ahead to the fall, that remains to be seen how that plays out. So a lot of interaction on the text line is concerned. 38-30 as far as Iowa State is concerned. The women last night, turnovers or not, they got jobbed on the jump ball call. First game I watched of them all year, and it was impressed for a bunch of young players. Jones was very, very good. I would agree on that. 0905, could you imagine Caitlin Clark and Ashley Jones on the same team? Could have happened.
They only have one ball. And the only way that would have happened is if Caitlin Clark would have decided to go to Iowa State.
True.
Because Ashley Jones was never going to Iowa.
2030, speaking of baseball, your White Sox took a hit today. Yes, and we will talk about that coming up. Just when you thought things were rosy in baseball land in 2021, a bad injury in spring training takes out one of the top flight players as far as the Sox are concerned. We will get to that coming up in a little bit. We'll talk about this. We'll kick it around with Kevin and then with our listeners. 1156, Fran. According to him, Fran needs to hire a recruiter. Recruit for the NCAA, not the Big Ten. Quick, athletic players are definitely needed. We'll talk about that. And like I said yesterday, and you've talked about, everyone has talked about, taking a look at that first weekend of the NCAA tournament. You can tell the teams that were very successful. They were long. They were lanky on the outside, guarded very, very well in the perimeter, and took the ball to the basket, but also showed the ability to hit the outside jumper and the mid-range jumper when it was taken. By the way, take mid-range jumpers, people. Don't forget about the 15-footers.
Yeah, it's kind of a lost shot, isn't it, between the way kids can shoot from the three-point. A three-point shot is not that difficult. And then you have the inside game, which Iowa was really good at this year. And, yeah, the mid-range jumper is maybe not a dinosaur, but a kind of a passing fad.
Yeah, and the teams that did well shot that mid-range jumper. Seems like in the Big Ten especially, you get either three-pointers or you're taking that ball to that basket and trying to get that old-fashioned three-point play, trying to draw the block. We'll get Kevin's thoughts on that as well. 319-366-1600 as we come your way at 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here today on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're a week away from baseball getting underway. And I will, in case you missed it, yes, as 2030 talked about with his text or her text, the White Sox, Eloy Jimenez, is going to be out for 5 to 6 months. That is months. That was reported earlier on today by people in Chicago that follow the White Sox. All Chicago had to say about it was that it was a significant injury, and then the news came out that Eloy is going to be out for 5 or 6 months. Tried to rob a home run in a spring training game yesterday. I like the hustle, but you got to remember time and situation, I think, Mark, and winning a spring training game or helping to win a spring training game by taking a home run away is probably not going to mean a whole lot when you get around the middle to end portion of July.
Yeah, torn pectoral muscle. And as you mentioned, he's going to miss a half a year, which is crushing to the White Sox. I mean, this guy, as you know, Scott, is a 30-homer guy, maybe a 40-homer guy. I don't know, who can really, really hit and play the outfield. It's going to factor into, I think, some folks' predictions in terms of the American League Central. Because Adam Eaton is not Eloy Jimenez, right?
No, he is not. No, he is not, Mark. You see, I'm trying to keep a positive mental attitude about this.
Yeah.
How am I doing?
I think you're doing well so
Thank
far.
You.
But as you mentioned, the season starts next week.
Yeah.
We'll see how you feel then.
Yeah. We'll see. 319-366-1600. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. That's really a tough blow for the White Sox. And I don't know if the Twins have a comparable player. If the Twins had a player go down for 6 months, maybe Buxton, I don't know. But Jimenez is special.
Talking about Andrew Vaughn maybe moving to left field. He was kind of slated to play a little bit as far as DH is concerned. Maybe mostly be a DH. Talking about him perhaps being in the left field area. Adam Eaton is certainly going to get some work, but probably you're going to see Adam Engel out there the most. I think you will see Adam Eaton in there as well. Maybe a little bit of a platoon combination. We'll see Luis Robert still in center field for the White Sox. I don't know. It puts a crimp in the plans. Can I just say that? It puts a crimp into the plans as far as Chicago Southside baseball is concerned.
That's putting it mildly, Scott, but you're right.
Yeah. He'll be out 5 to 6 months. As far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600. 1527 showing me a picture of his Eloy Jimenez autographed 2017 Futures Game Baseball.
Nice.
It is nice. I'd almost trade it if he could play. Just kidding. We'll see. All right. 27 past 3. We're going to take a break. Come back. We'll talk about Iowa and Oregon and other things, college basketball on Off the Glass, our weekly segment with Coach Kevin Lehman. And we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Hoops and hockey are hot and baseball is right around the corner. So it couldn't be a better time to take a shot at an easy 100 from the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today using code HANSEN100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Lakers versus Sixers game. And if either team hits a three, you win. No matter what your favorite sport is, it's always showtime at BetMGM. Get in on the fun with innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Lakers or Sixers to hit a three. Bet with confidence and turn game days into paydays at BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of 9 kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter. And it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics, at getting your Iowa coaching authorization from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood state-approved, fully online classes are happening right now. Sign up and begin your online course anytime, anywhere, and get on track to reach your goals. Visit Kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. And as you just heard, every weekday at 5, the 5 o'clock hour is Drive Time. It's driven by Lender Tire with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And you can find out more at LenderTire.com. That's LenderTire.com. Getting ready to talk some hoops with you as the coach, Kevin Lehman, set to join us right here. And his weekly segment, Off the Glass, which we enjoy bringing to you right here on KGYM, is proudly brought to you each Thursday by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. Chris, with over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas. Find out more online at shootershomes.com. That's shootershomes.com. And Kevin, what a first weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament. I think we thought that it could be topsy-turvy, but a record performance by seeds with a one in front of them, I don't think we saw that coming.
Scott, I'm looking at this bracket of mine and scratching my head, and I'm thinking, God gave us March Madness to prove to us that you shouldn't gamble.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
This was not good.
The entire right side of my bracket has only one team left. The left side is okay. I think I've only lost two teams, and one of those being Iowa at this point. But the right side is completely haywire.
I'm with you. I've got two left. Baylor out of the South, Midwest. I have Houston. And then I'm pretty good in the West and the East. But who would have predicted these first-round upsets? And even the teams that have carried it into the second round, Oral Roberts and such, has been amazing. And I got to say this about Loyola. They were underseeded. And not only was that not fair to Loyola, it's not fair to Illinois, because now in round number two, they're playing a supposedly 8 seed that's really not an 8 seed.
I
take on that one.
And you're right. We'll talk more about Loyola coming up. And I agree. I think the same thing is also you can say about Oregon. Oregon was not a 7 seed. That was a tournament, a regular season Power 5 conference championship team. And not to make excuses for Iowa, but Oregon is not a 7 seed.
Yeah, and I think it was tough in the committee because you had, the COVID interruptions, and it was hard to get a good handle on these teams. But the Pac-12, if you look at what they did in the non-conference, I think their record was like 5-9 against the other Power 5. So it showed that they didn't deserve to have these seeds, but that tells you about basketball. It's not how you were playing in December. It's how you're playing now in March. And we've seen the demise of the Big 12 and the Big 10. I think I told you last week, I think I had 10 of my Sweet 16 were either Big 12 or Big 10 teams. There's two left, Baylor and Michigan.
Well, what about the Big 10 in particular, Kevin? Because we've had a lot of discussion about that since the completion of the second round. 8 out of the 9 teams are now gone. Michigan was on the ropes against LSU, but pulled that game out. Is it just one of those things? What do you think?
I think a lot of people are going to look at this, Mark, and try to figure it out. And I'm going to throw this at you and see what you guys feel. Years ago, 5-6 years ago, the NCAA went to this big freedom of movement, allowing perimeter players not to be touched, the cylinder rule that you couldn't invade the offensive player's cylinder. And I'm just thinking that college basketball has become so more wide open and such freedom of movement that you need long athletes now in college basketball. And the Big Ten this year, to me, was a throwback conference. Look at the post players you had. Hunter Dickerson at Michigan. Luka Garza with the Hawks. Kofi Coburn. Miles Johnson with Rutgers. Wisconsin with Micah Potter and Nate Reavers. Indiana, Trace Jackson. I mean, these were big, strong dudes inside. I wonder if they're going the way of the dodo bird, man. And you got to have athletes now to compete on a national scale. And the Big Ten kind of was in their old cocoon for that long length of time. And when they got out of it in the NCAA tournament, just didn't have success.
But the Gonzaga has Timmy. I mean, what's so different?
He's not a physical post player, though, Mark. If you watch him, that kid runs the wings and finishes. To me, he's a little bit more of a Aaron White type than he is of those other guys I mentioned in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Is it time, Kevin, and this is what we've been talking about for the last couple of days, and that is it time for the Big Ten to maybe look at bringing in some different type of guys to go along? You still got to have the big, powerful, you know, Midwest guys to play. But you watch the first two rounds of this tournament, and seemingly every Big Ten team had players from other conferences running around, and not through them, but running around them and then coming out and stopping their play defensively. We kind of fall in love with Big Ten physicality and Big Ten play, but does the Big Ten need to maybe expand their horizons as far as bringing in different types of talent is concerned?
Well, Scott, that's a great question, but here's what happens when you get in the league. You're looking at, look at those physical dudes Michigan State has. I got to get some physical guys to match them. Look at how Michigan's going to play with Dickerson inside. I got to get physical guys to match that. So I think you get caught up in your own league recruiting against what you think you're going to play against and recruiting to that standard, because I need physicality to match the rest of the physicality of the league. So is somebody going to be like an Alabama Nate Oates and go out on a limb and say, we're going to play a different style, we're going to shoot threes, we're going to shoot layups, and we're going to shoot free throws? You got to be a real maverick to do that in the Big Ten, because this league still leads the country in attendance. It has for eons and eons, so people like what they see. But we got to look at this thing, because their lack of success in the NCAA tournament is becoming more and more blatant. Last national championship was 2000, Michigan State. And look at this, 9 teams in the tournament this year. We've got one left standing. So obviously something's not right here with the Big Ten when they get in a stage in March.
Guys, I'm going to throw a little water on this and expand on it, because since that 2000 championship team from Michigan State, there's been 6 other Big Ten schools that have appeared in the national championship game. It's not like it's a huge drought. It's, you know, one team beating another, whether it's North Carolina over Michigan or what have you. And beyond that, I'm not sure it's just the Big Ten, because the Big 12 has had one champion since 1988. The Pac-12 hasn't had a champion in 25 years. So I think it's a larger question.
Yeah, Mark, that's a great point. There's only Baylor's left standing in the Big 12, which most people thought was the second best conference in the country. And I guess we're still trying to figure out, where did the Pac-12 come from in this thing? You know, where did Oregon State come from? I thought Scott had a great point about this Oregon team. That was a team that was underseeded. And so was Southern Cal. They got some dudes that can play. But when you get down to it, how do you want to measure your league? You measure it by NCAA championships? Do you measure it by Final Four appearances? Do you measure it by Sweet 16s? I guess, how are you going to measure the success of your league? And do you measure how many guys go to the NBA? Because if you measure it that way, the ATC's been on top for years. It's an interesting dilemma, guys. And, great. It's great for talk radio, because we're all trying to figure this out right now. As we watch teams like Oral Roberts advance, we watch Loyola advance, we watch all the other upset teams, and now you've got the coming of Alabama and Arkansas out of the SEC. We're not looking at Kentucky coming out of there. We're looking at two football schools, one football school in Alabama and Arkansas trying to be a football school.
True. And I see Mark's point, the fact that it's not been – yes, it's been bad. It's been a drought. It's not been horrible. Maybe we're just putting too much emphasis on what has happened as far as lately is concerned. And I think You compound that with the fact that Iowa, with everything they had this year, came up short as far as getting to the Sweet 16. It was a shame they had to play Oregon. Who knows how it would have played out against somebody else in that second round. But, you know, that's the way it goes. Same thing with the Iowa State women last night. That's the way it went. That was the matchup. That's the way it was called down the stretch, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it at this point. But I don't know what the answer is. I do know this. I watched other schools, and their athletes are getting by the Big Ten's athletes, and to a certain extent, somewhat the Big 12, although the Big 12 plays, I think, a little bit more athletic than physical as far as their league is concerned.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, the Big 12 is a little bit more athletic team, but you look at this Iowa team, and I thought Fran McCaffrey made a great point. He said, you get the NCAA tournament, there are no upsets. You got to win whatever team they put in front of you. You got to be able to beat that team in order to move on. The disappointing thing about, you know, this Iowa team, it's what it's been, guys, since 98, or the Sweet 16 team. That's a long drought for a program like Iowa that's traditionally in the upper half of the Big Ten. The inability to advance past that first round is really becoming, like, frustrating to Iowa fans, and I'm sure to the Iowa coaching staff. But and I think this year, maybe this year, we give the Big Ten, the Big 12, and in the NCAA committee a pass, because this was not your normal year because of COVID-19. You didn't have your summer, didn't have your fall. And this summer, you're not going to have your summer travel and overseas tours and those types of things. So it was a different animal from start to finish. And that may have also affected the way that some of these teams were seeded.
Kevin, I wanted to get your thoughts on the composition of the Iowa basketball team next year. There's some unknowns, particularly Joe Wieskamp. He's tabled his announcement or any decision he's going to make in terms of returning. There's a kind of a strange message that Jordan Bohan had on his podcast that he was going to take a two-week hiatus to figure out some life decisions. That could totally mean anything. I know. I don't expect Jordan to be back, but given what we saw this year and players like Murray and Patrick McCaffrey, Nunji hopefully returning to good form, what do you think about the composition of Iowa's team? Are they going to lose any players to transfer portal? What do you think?
That transfer portal is a monster of itself, Mark. I think there's like 800 signed up for that thing right now. It's going to be the new free agency of college basketball. Whether that's right or wrong is a whole other debate, because we're in the era of, you know, freedom for student athletes to be freedom of not only movement on the court, movement off the court, because coaches can move and change. So why can't players change schools? And the name, image, of likeness is coming at us also. So we're seeing a big revolutionary time in college basketball coming at us. But when you look at this Iowa roster, I mean, I like what I'm seeing in the youth. Tony Perkins, Ulis, Keegan Murray, Patrick McCaffrey. I like what I see in those guys. I think the big question next year, you know, Jack Nunji, how healthy he's going to be, what are they going to have with that five spot? Because we've been spoiled, guys, for 3 years with Luka Garza, maybe even 4 years, but he's been dominant the last two. So it's going to be a team with a different makeup without that big presence inside, no matter how you look at this thing. And will Fran McCaffrey get on the transfer portal? That's the question I have. Is he going to jump into that market? Because I think in today's college world, what's the first thing T.J. Osterberger does at Iowa State? He signs a guy from Washington State, one of those schools. So I think if you're going to be successful in today's college basketball, that transfer portal is going to be huge.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us off the glass here, brought to you by Chris Lehman. And find out more about Chris at shootershomes.com as we talk college hoops here at 3, coming up on 3:44 anyway. And before we leave Iowa, it's going to be interesting to see. Yes, does Fran go out and then try to find a big man as far as the transfer portal is concerned, or is Ogundele ready to go? He's still raw. We know that. We'll see. Or is Iowa? I mean, Nungy is not a Garza guy. He's not a 35-minute back-to-the-basket guy. Or does Iowa go maybe with more of an outside game next year, more of a five perimeter, and put Nungy out there and try to beat you off the dribble a little bit more? That's the interesting part, looking at 21-22 for the Hawks.
Well, Scott, I think it goes back to what we just talked about in the opening. Look at the rest of the Big Ten, and you're thinking, can I play that way against those top teams, what Javon Howard's doing at Michigan with Dickerson? Can I play that way against what we know Izzo traditionally does? I'd be concerned that I got to have physicality to match physicality to survive in the Big Ten. Kind of watching what Fred Hoiberg's trying to do at Nebraska, that's not working well for him right now. So if you're Iowa, and if I'm on the transfer portal, wouldn't you want to play for Fran McCaffrey? I mean, it's kind of a free-for-all offense. If you get up and run it down, score some points, I think it'd be a fun system to play in. And obviously, we say this every year, they got to learn to guard better, especially the pick-and-roll situation. We thought they had that solved through most of the second half of the season, but it reared its ugly head again once we got against Oregon. So I think we're at an interesting time, not only in college basketball, what's the Iowa program going to do moving forward? I do like their young talent, and I feel pretty good about that. And if I'm Jordan Bohannon, why won't you come back for a sixth year? It's better than going to the work world.
Yeah, and that's the question that he's got to think. A couple of texts here before we move on. 1776, Anit Hara from Penn State. And 1553, and this has been kind of rumored. What about C.J. Frederick? There are rumors out there that he is thinking about the portal.
This portal is gonna—it takes on a life of its own, guys. And the one bad thing about it is, when you commit to a place in the old days, and I'm sure Mark will speak this to you—you stuck it out through thick and thin. That's not true anymore. So, if C.J. Frederick is looking at the portal, and let's hope he's not, what's he looking for? He's in a pretty good situation here at Iowa. I thought until his injury, he was playing at maybe not a first-team Big Ten level, but certainly a second-team or honorable mention until he ran into those injuries.
I like that Harar kid, by the way, and he would not hurt Iowa in the least. He's almost a double-double guy this year at Penn State. Kevin, I wanted to ask you what you make of T.J. Otzelberger's apparent interest in bringing Kyle Green on board as an assistant. Kyle, of course, at UNI, and also knowing that Kyle Green has a very talented son.
Well, I've got a son that is a huge Northern Iowa fan, and Grant, my son Grant, lives in Omaha. He's their number one fan. He is really concerned about this, Mark, really concerned. But I like the move by TJ because the state of Minnesota and the city of Minneapolis is loaded with talent. The Gophers cannot seem to keep him home. Jalen Suggs is a perfect example of that. And Kyle Green is from that area. You look at Northern Iowa's roster, and I know we're talking about a different level in the Big 12, but he is so well connected with those AAU programs in Minneapolis, Howard Pulley program, and the others up there. I think it's a pretty smart move by T.J. Osselberger. Is this a package deal? I read AJ would stay in Cedar Falls. I don't know the family situation. I know the sister also plays for Northern Iowa. We'll see how that one pans out. But I think it leads to what we talked about weeks ago. Are the mid-majors going to become the minor league system for the major conference teams in college basketball because of the transfer portal?
Interesting move, Lon Kruger. With his retirement announcement today from Oklahoma. Interestingly enough, I thought one of the guys that was going to be a big-time name in the offseason, Kelsey out of Winthrop, he accepts College of Charleston today before all this happened with Lon Kruger. I thought he might be a guy that some of these, at least, mid-majors, high mid-majors, and maybe some Power 5 teams would be looking at, but looks like he's going to land at Charleston.
Well, I didn't see that, Scott. That is interesting, Pat Kelsey, because I told you, you know, 2 years ago I did a number of those games down there. I got to know Pat pretty well because he was really good friends with Nick Nurse. And it's very much what Alabama's doing with great success. But how about, did Porter Moser just put his name on every short list of teams trying, of universities going to have a basketball opening? I mean, that guy, what he did against Illinois, it wasn't like they made a shot at the end to win that game. They controlled it from start to finish, and he just made himself into a millionaire. I don't know if Loyola's going to be able to ante up, because he could pretty much name the school that he wants to go to.
Scott mentioned Lon Kruger retiring at Oklahoma. I mean, this guy, in my mind, Kevin, a very underrated coach. He took five different schools to the NCAA tournament, Coach of the Year in three different leagues. Did you cross paths with him at all?
Yes. In fact, my assistant, my GA at Nebraska Omaha was his assistant, Chris Crutchfield, when they had who's that great scorer they had 3 years ago playing the NBA now?
Oh boy.
he went up against George Niang all the time. Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield, yeah.
So Chris Crutchfield was my assistant at GA, and he bounced around the JUCO ranks and ended up on Lon Kruger's staff. So I would always have a conversation with Lon at Big 12 Media Day. I'd say Lon Kruger is the nicest man you'll ever meet, a real gentleman. And also I had a former City High tennis player, Patsy Donaldson, way back in the 70s. She was the academic advisor for Lon Kruger at Kansas State. So I knew him through Patsy also. So I got to know really well, Mark. And I tell you, you couldn't find a nicer person. And I'm sorry to see college basketball lose him, because he is he's a real gem. And they need more guys like him in college basketball and college sports, because he's not only about X and O's, he's about making sure that his student athletes are successful when they get done playing.
A couple things. First of all, you mentioned Loyola. Great story. And we talked about the fact, talent-wise, this team has more talent than the team that got to the Final Four. I don't know if this team is going to get to the Final Four, but it's fun. And you hit the nail on the head. They controlled the tempo. They controlled everything as far as that game against Illinois is concerned. Extra passes, that was a clinic as far as coaching is concerned, and good for them. Talk about that a little bit. And then the Indiana opening, there's some very interesting people that are talked about with the Hoosiers. Thad Mata's name has come up, if his health is okay. John Beilein's name has come up with Indiana a little bit. They want a home run hire. I know that from some insiders out there.
Well, Scott, we've talked about the Blue Bloods and how they struggled. And is Indiana still a Blue Blood? And you have to go back to Bobby Knight era and what Final Four after Bobby. I think John Beilein would be a perfect hire for Indiana, because there's some basketball talent in that area. It's a little bit like the Twin Cities. People are coming there and taking them away from Indiana. And he knows the league. We know he's one of the best X-No guys. And he's in Indiana, they love their basketball and they understand it. John Beilein, I love him on the Big Ten Network, because he breaks down the X and O's as well as anybody I've ever seen. It's going to be interesting to see what they do there. And you look at this Loyola team, remember they made that run in 2018. They were winning games with shots at the buzzer, whether it was Tennessee, Nevada, et cetera, Miami, Florida. But that game against Illinois, they dominated that from the start to the finish. It was not like this was an upset. They were the better team that day for 40 minutes.
Well, Trace Jackson Davis is about the only player left at Indiana. I mean, the players leaving for the transfer portal are almost rivaling Penn State.
Yeah, but new coach can come in there and get on that portal, and he can put five guys together pretty quick off that transfer portal. You've got that one-time transfer that you can transfer one time without to sit out. That rule also. So it's going to open up the floodgates, guys. This is going to be it's going to be hard to get to know your players as a fan because they could be gone the next year to somewhere else.
All right, Kevin. We will talk next week on the eve of the Final Four. We will know the Final Four at that point. So we'll look back on the weekend of basketball, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week. But always appreciate it. Thank you much. And do we have a softball update before we go? I don't want to short you on the softball.
Of course, we have to take care of our sponsor, Scott. You know that. Yeah, I just got the text from Chris Lehman that the bus just left for the Iowa softball team at Purdue at 3 o'clock Friday, doubleheader at Purdue Saturday. And they're trying to cut down travel and play these four-game series.
Yeah, best of luck.
Good luck to the Iowa softball team.
All right. Kevin, enjoy the basketball.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here on Thursdays. Off the Glass, brought to you by Chris Lehman at ShootersHomes.com. We'll take a break, come back, and have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this.
The tournament is down to just 16 teams, so if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. And FanDuel is hooking you up with an exclusive 30-1 odds on all 16 teams left in the bracket, even the top seeds. That's right, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game this round. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. If you think that Arkansas, the 3 seed, is going to end 15 seed Oral Roberts' season, 30-1 odds. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 30-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with the promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. And it is time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And, Mark, describe our average Vernon Parsons night last night.
Yeah, it was kind of strange because we had one 700, Rod Bruner with a 713, and three other 600s, but could only manage a split. 15 up, 15 down. That's the way things go sometimes when you're giving up 220 pins a game, as you know, Scott. But the good news, Rusty Nails moved into fourth place in the Adult Evergreen League. And second place within reach with about a month left in the season. So, yeah, it was okay, right?
It was a good night. It was a good night. We had a lot of fun. And, good camaraderie and some pretty good bowling last night.
A lot of good scores. Luke Stratton, hats off to Luke with a perfect 300 game. Ryan Bundy and Chase Donner were right there as well. Bundy had a 299, Donner a 297. Another Donner, Joel Donner, came up with a high series, 804, edging Marcus Mitz by a single pin.
He owned Marcus.
pick up those spares, Marcus. You know, whatever you got to do. But
just kidding, Marcus.
Good bowling by all, and you can partake in a couple three lines if you'd like. Open bowling, league bowling, summer leagues forming. And give him a call 362-0136.
Trying to hook up a baseball guy for tomorrow, or gal for tomorrow, and talk about the Major League season that gets started a week from today without Eloy Jimenez of the Chicago White Sox. Todd and Alex coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Mark, have a great evening.
You as well. Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class, KGYM.
You run a business and you need better wireless. Three words, no more compromise. With the T-Mobile Business Advantage, you get the largest 5G network, award-winning customer support, and insanely great value.